Our scripture reading is recorded in Luke chapter 21, beginning at verse 25. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, are you looking forward to Christmas? For many Christians, Christmas is their favorite time of year. We sing familiar Christmas carols and gather with loved ones to celebrate the Savior's birth. During this Advent season, we prepare once more to celebrate Jesus' birthday, to greet God's coming in the flesh, singing joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. But another Advent, another coming of Christ in the flesh, often gets overlooked during this joyful season. Jesus is coming again. This time as judge of the living and the dead. What a contrast this will be from his coming as a baby lying in a manger. On the last day, we will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Is this something you look forward to? Does the prospect of Jesus coming at the last day fill you with excitement or fear? Is the last day something you try not to even think about, like the day of your own death, which is every individual's last day? How does Jesus say we should view his second coming? As those who believe in him as our Savior, Jesus would have us look forward to his coming again. While our heads may hang low at the prospect of the end of all earthly things, Jesus tells us to look up to see the signs, look up for your redemption is near. Look up to see the signs. Signs play an important role in our daily lives. Traffic signs are there to promote safe travel. Other signs warn us by pointing out dangers that lie ahead, such as limited visibility next 10 miles, or danger, falling rock. When we see these signs, we are especially careful not to let our guard down or be distracted. Signs also play an important role throughout the scriptures. God used signs to announce Jesus' birth. 7 centuries before Jesus was born, Isaiah wrote, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." To proclaim Jesus' birth, God placed a special star as a sign in the sky, leading the wise men to ask, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Signs also accompanied Jesus' death. As Christ hung on the cross, darkness fell over the whole land for 3 hours, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Graves were opened, and the dead came forth alive and went into the city of Jerusalem. Signs are an integral part of God's way of doing things. That is why the disciples came to Jesus to ask him what kind of signs will precede his coming again at the last day. The first signs Jesus speaks of will take place in the heavens. There will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and the powers of the heaven will be shaken. We are given greater details of this in Matthew 24. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. 1 Peter 3 describes the destruction of the heavens by fire. The elements will melt in the heat. The very bonds that hold the universe together will be dissolved. This will be dreadful beyond our imagination. Since many will not know the meaning of these signs, this will cause them literally to be scared to death. Next, Jesus speaks of signs on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Today, we are experiencing what may be described as distress of nations. We read and hear of diseases, famines, violent earthquakes, governments in turmoil, various riots and rebellions. Our text tells us how severe this distress of nations will become at the end by describing the reaction of those who witness these signs. Men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For unbelievers, this situation will look hopeless, filling them with distress, perplexity, fear, and foreboding. These are the signs that we are to be alert to. Yet our tendency is not to look up, but to look away from such things, to try to ignore them, or to look down to the things of this world. Jesus warns us in our lesson both about being preoccupied with the anxieties of life and the various means to which people resort to try to escape the anxieties of life. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. How do you handle stress? Jesus warns us not to try drowning our sorrows with drunkenness. In our day, we could add illegal drugs, compulsive gambling, internet porn, and other traps that easily control and even destroy lives. Neither are we to let anxiety itself go unchecked. The worry that we have about the present and the future, not just the end times, threatens to take away our trust that the Lord is indeed working all things for the good of those who love him. Worry suffocates faith. Rather, Jesus exhorts us to watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. This worthiness spoken of is not something we earn or deserve, but worthiness Christ has earned for us and gives to us as a free gift. Even the faith that receives Christ's worthiness is a gift from God the Holy Spirit working through the word and sacraments. Those who watch and pray will be heard by God, will escape this world spiritually unharmed, and will stand with joy before the Son of Man on the last day. As we watch and pray, we look up, for if we don't, all we'll see is the mess we're in. All we'll see is that we cannot save ourselves. And so we look beyond ourselves. We look up to the Lord who made heaven and earth. He is able to help us because he not only created us and all things, but he preserves all things. We hope because the Lord has promised us redemption. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. That is the theme of Advent. Christ, our salvation, is coming. We lift up our eyes in hope, trusting in the promises of God, knowing that no matter what happens, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is ours in Christ Jesus. Jesus' blood washes away our sins and gives us peace with God. And even if this world is passing away, we look forward to a new heaven and new earth, the home of righteousness and the places which have been prepared for us in Christ. Amen.